Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Hey, good morning, all you best people. It's Saturday, and we have a special Saturday show with Tia Starr of the nationally award-winning, recognized by many, the Tia Starr Network. And I'm really excited about this show. It's a little bit of a different flavor, but I think it's a really important and timely topic. It's all about teens and social media. We see it on the news all day long, and many of us experience it with our terrific teens. Cyberbullying, texting, sexting, you name it, it's being invented. So today we want to have you call in 347-637-1318, press 1, and we'll get you on the switchboard into the call, or you can type something in the chat room. But I really want to be honest here, and I hope teens will call in, parents, friends of, share this with the show. Really want to get the naked truth out there, the real-world problems, and we're going to talk about real-world practical solutions. And you know, you can call somebody, get them online. We just really want to help each other with this because it's really important. And I know many of you have already put your suggestions in for the show, and I appreciate that. But let me tell you about Tia Starr, because she is a star. It's good that God gave her a star in her name. But Tia Starr is recognized in the Tia Starr Network, and she really is no stranger to success, because, I mean, this all began at an early age for her, speaking of teens. At 12, she was writing poetry and gaining national recognition for a poem she wrote, The Day I Died, which was written in honor of her grandfather. And then she started spinning records, performing as a hip-hop artist, and writing her own songs. Can you imagine that? By age 13. And then she started her own company at 14. And today she is very humble in sharing these titles, but she's an award-winning entrepreneur. She's a talk show host. She's a songwriter, a musician, a DJ, a hip-hop artist, lyricist. Talking well here Saturday morning. Promoter, poet, writer, sound and visual engineer, editor, producer, director, she's a filmmaker, a graphic artist, an animator, she's also a webmaster, programmer, and designer. She's very cerebral. And she's founder of two nonprofit organizations and the CEO of the Tia Starr Media Network. Wow, I'm tired just telling you what she does. I can't imagine what she feels like doing it all. But let me tell you something that's really super fantastic about my friend Tia Starr. Her volunteer work is so amazing that she got an award by President George Bush. Unbelievable. And, you know, of course, in her own community in Ohio, the mayor, the previous mayor, Jane Campbell, had recognized her. And she's won many more awards than that. But if we did that, we wouldn't have a show about the teens. We'd be having a Tia Starr show. So I want to welcome Tia Starr. How are you, Tia?
God bless, Deb. How are you this morning? Thank
well,
you
know,
God
when
bless.
I'm with the best people, guests. You know, I gotta feel pretty jazzed. I really am just really grateful for all you do.
Well,
you make the world a better place.
Thank you so much, Deb, and it's an honor to be on your show. You know, you're one of the best people I know too, as well, and you're a blessed angel in yourself. And wow,
we'll just be the mutual admiration society.
I know. I'm probably like red right now as an apple and blushing because And just, you know, your intro, and like I said, I give nothing but the glory to God. I just have to do all with you.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, your faith, and you're so strong, and you've had a lot of adversity in your life, and we'll do that on another show, but, you know, you're really one of those transformation queen experts, because you take anything that gets thrown at you bad, boy, you'll give it back to everybody with rose petals. It's unbelievable how you make everything good. But listen, today is really a great topic for your expertise and dear to my heart, because I work with teens at my parish. You know, social media, it's something you said when we were talking about creating the show, and I'll have you say it better than me, but you talked about, you know, the kids go there, they got there, whatever one they want, and they expected something.
Right.
They didn't get what they wanted, so now what? But why don't you, you know, talk about that so we can frame the show the way that, you know, we were discussing, because I think that's really a great way that you phrased it.
Right. Well, it was just a three-part thing. You know, you went there, you got there, but you didn't get what you want. Now what? In other words, you know, social media obviously has its good points and also its negative points. But in essence, a lot of our kids that are going into the social media networks, as we're finding out as we're polling kids, and you know this from your own polls and how we're doing it simultaneously, that a lot of the kids are getting there and they're looking for something. They're looking for something that they're missing naturally. And once they get into the social media aspect, once they're in that realm, after getting there, they still feel as if whatever they were looking for isn't there. They're missing it. So then the question becomes, now what do you do? And meaning that a lot of what we're finding out in our polls is that they're looking for a substitute of interaction and human interaction that you don't get naturally anymore in this day and age, because it's such a fast-paced society. So really, could you get that when you're talking to someone or texting someone? It's even less of a connection to interact with the person face to face. So that's when we said about, now what? What's the next step?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, what you said is really powerful, because, you know, whether you're 13, 15, or maybe in your 40s, like me.
80.
You know, whatever the age. The bottom line is, social media is here to stay.
Yes, it is.
Right. And the second fact that I think we can all agree upon listening is, we all have the intent, or most of us, of getting something good out of those connections. And we're all looking to be accepted, connected, happy, peaceful. But the thing is, and I really hope people will call in and talk about some of the problems that they're dealing with. We want happiness, but we're buying the counterfeit happiness.
Right.
And the you know what I mean?
Yes.
And the social media is only a bridge. So what we're wanting and what we're getting are not equal. You know, the equation is not a winning equation.
Right. It's an imbalance.
Right.
Yes.
So since we want happiness, but we're getting the counterfeit happiness, and we see it so often on the news, and there's a new one every day, like sexting right now, I guess, is huge.
Oh,
so let's talk about some of the problems that people are facing.
Well, you just went right into one that is an extremely increasing problem with social media. And please, social media is awesome when used in its right way and as a right tool. But sexting, which, you know, obviously when we're talking about even going into that realm, I mean, especially when you're talking about our teens, the sending of explicit messages and photographs between each other, not just also in the social media realm, but just in texting, because, you know, we're in the age of smartphones. We're in it, you know, so basically it's almost like having a personal computer right on your hip. And then even within the social media realm. But our biggest increase is in the after effect of it, where there's a statistical increase of child trafficking and pornography.
Yeah, and the pornography, I'm telling you, I think, and again, we're focusing this show, everyone. I see a lot
right.
of people in the chat room, and I really appreciate everybody being in here. But, you know, I think that, again, this really could apply to any age, but I'm
it's
really,
age,
like
it's,
you,
it's
really concerned about the teens. Yeah, exactly.
Right. And encouraging those that have teens that or know of teens or even teens to call in and express their concerns or what they feel that they're getting in and out of the of being in social media. And maybe they have a different use for it, opinion, but I think just because of what we're working on now, which we'll talk about later on the show as far as our movement towards helping to have a safer place, but also a way of getting knowledge and information about safer uses of social media. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show, I'm quite sure. But to please call in, because it's important. This is a generation now that we're in, so about a second or third generation of kids who are missing the complete interaction of guidance and human interaction and going directly to social media types and feeling that that's the way that you actually communicate with people. And lack of guidance socially leads to the sexting or the texting issues. So when you're having kids that are sending pornographic images of themselves and then getting hurt in that realm, you know, that leads to a whole other psychological bed of things that we have to deal with as a society and dropping the ball on.
Right. So let's talk, because you've done a lot of research on this, so
right.
and I kind of interrupted you there, which I apologize.
Right.
There's so much,
okay.
there's so much going through my head and heart right now. I'm very passionate about this, as you are. We all are here. But talk about what you're finding with the trafficking and the porn and some of these real negative, horrifying things that are really wiring our kids' brains in
right.
the wrong way.
Well, the imagery, for instance, we talked about that. If you have the imagery, and actually we know about it. I mean, it's been statistics just shown us that over the course of time of television, and now in what we've gotten into in this day and age, that negative imagery is abundant globally, so much that it's embedded into our brains before we even get a positive message. But when we're talking about the human trafficking aspect, when you're in the social media realm, we're having a lot of statistics that are staggering us in regards to kids that are online thinking they're talking to kids. And because there's no one there to guide them or to talk to them about safety, and they're just in that realm and kind of left to do so, they're getting caught up into a whole other piece where they're thinking that they're actually dealing with teens. And then there's a guard that's let down, and before you know it, they're sending these messages back and forth, especially the pornographic messages. Then they get caught up into meeting someone, and then they find out that the person that they're meeting is actually really not a teen. That's really a serious, staggering truth. And in that particular case, then they become privy to other open things that are open to the predators, to getting into the sexual trafficking, to being actually put into that realm. So we're finding that social media is actually one of the biggest increased tools used to lure kids and teens into that place.
Yeah,
and
there was a recent movie that just came out, too.
Right.
Trust, I think. And it was a real-life
right.
you know, story about this young girl. She's thinking she's talking to somebody who is someone her age, meets them, and then
right.
when she meets them, of course, the guy is rapes her.
Right.
And this is something that's real. It's not just in the movie.
It's very real.
It's happening, and we've got to do something about it, and if we don't, who will? And if you
right.
know, if we don't talk about it and take away the shame of it, we'll never change it. But,
so,
you know, that's
here's
something.
The piece. That's very
right.
serious, but here's the piece that's even more serious. Most kids don't tell.
Yeah.
Why don't
right.
they tell? Well, because apparently we've missed a gap somewhere in our social responsibility to our kids to instill a trust factor of someone that they can come to even talk to.
Right.
But they don't tell.
So the irony of this problem is we're using the social media, the kids are using the social media, adults, to connect
right.
more authentically, to have
more authentically, yes.
Right. And again, what we're getting is the inauthentic. So
right.
We're getting exactly opposite what we want. So the first way to change it is, one, to be aware of it and talk about it like we're doing
right.
here today. The second thing is to realize, what are you getting? Are you getting something good? Or are you getting something bad? And then the third thing is, we can make a choice from there. And
right.
It would be naive to think we could eliminate the social media, but
you can't eliminate it. It's here
right.
to stay. And I'll give you some facts. 200 million Facebook accounts are already active, plus. Nearly half of those accounts are assessed daily. It's not going to go away.
Right. So that's true. It's not going to go away. But so what can we do to intercept
right.
it and change and create places and bring an awareness of places and things that are used in a healthy way to get the positive result that we're actually wanting. And
right.
I think that that's the key that unlocks the door to the new landscape that we need to focus on. What are some of the other problems? I mean, I think that
we talked about just the basic translation of words. You know, when polling the kids, you know, a lot of the things that they've had are, you know, we talked about cyberbullying, which we'll address a little bit later on the show, but miscommunication. Like something that someone would actually type out as opposed to when it's said and you can actually see someone and you can actually hear their words when they say it, and the inflection in the words is totally different than something that you put in print.
Right.
Sometimes
so
message
statistically.
Misconveyed.
Exactly.
Yes.
So if we accept the fact that scientifically over 75% of our messaging and receiving
right.
and understanding of a message is through nonverbal communication,
yes.
if the largest part of how we are able to communicate is removed, what does that tell us? Hello.
Hello.
Not going to be good.
It's not going to be a good conversation all the time. which now goes to the point of what we talked about when we posed them the kids. The first thing they said was a miscommunication, and sometimes it leads to you know, harassment or friendships that break up, or people that they have a miscommunication in regards to something that's stated, and it's been taken in the wrong way. And then it causes, you know, dissension between just the kids alone, just between their peers, just their friends. Like someone could say something one way and type it out, but they have one intention, but it's totally misinterpreted on the other end.
Right.
There's no backup.
And then the misinterpretations results for the kids to be,
right.
you know, gossip, bullying,
right.
reputations are damaged.
Reputation, yes, are damaged. And then here you are on the other end. I'll give you a good example, being a parent. What's the matter with you today, I would ask. And I say, well, nothing. Well, okay, you know, that nothing doesn't mean nothing. Because you can pretty much have a good sense if you're really in tune with your kids, and if you're not, but you know, you can have a good sense of something that's going on in your child's life. And, you know, you'll find out later, well, you know, on Facebook there's this rumor going around. Someone started a rumor, or I'm getting bullied. Or I said something that was taken the wrong way, and now we're arguing back and forth on Facebook, venting, as they call it, on Facebook. So it happens. And I'm not just going to use Facebook, because it happens in text. It happens in a lot of different social media realms. I don't want to knock Facebook. What I'm saying is that because there is a lack of actual physical human interaction to even get the actual dialect to understand what was meant by what was typed, there is a complete breakdown of communication.
Right. And when that communication is broken, what it does is it breaks us. It breaks our spirits. The kids,
right.
anybody, you know, getting some type of a negative comment or being unsafe in school,
right.
not knowing how viral something has gone and how damaging. And the kids today, unlike maybe, you know, when I grew up, and maybe some of the people listening right now, you know, these kids, their whole lives are being recorded. They're being recorded on YouTube. They're being
right.
Saved,
right.
you know, on emails. They're being virally susceptible on Facebook or
right.
on anything on the Internet. And everything is video and pictures. You could be, I mean, how many of these kids have I spoken to who think that they're doing something in private, which I guess is the cyberbullying extension, and they're being videoed. So, you know, really, these kids, their whole lives are being recorded and they have no privacy.
None.
And, you know, that creates a generation with problems that we probably haven't even understood, and that's why it's so important to discuss this. Hey, we have a caller, 412-454, and we're really happy you're here. Hello, you are on the air. Hello, hello.
Hello. Hi. Hello, this is Dr. Nancy Marie Mertia. Hi.
Hi, Dr. Nancy. How are you?
Awesome. Hey, Dr. Nancy.
Hi, glad to have you on. Oh, it's so good to talk to both of you this morning about this extremely important topic. I really wanted to support this, and I wanted to say something that I came in a little late and I probably missed, but the involvement of parents in supervising the internet use of machines. And I want to just share that as a psychologist, I know that teenagers' brains and conscience are not fully developed. They know logically what's right and wrong, but it's not integrated. It's just not there yet. And without the parental involvement, boy, almost anything can happen. And so I just totally support what you're telling the parents today, because their involvement makes the difference.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Maybe you can...
thank you so much for chiming in. I know it's your show.
No, hey, listen, now it's our show. We're the best people
but
we know,
it's
Club.
It's your show, but I got to ask Dr. Nancy a question.
Dr. Nancy,
I actually want to ask you a question, and actually maybe something you can statistically put out there for our parents and our listeners. When you say that the brain is not fully developed, a lot of people still don't understand what that truly means physically. What does that really mean physically?
What it means is that the parts of the brain that have to do with moral development and conscience are not completely, they're not solid. They're still in a transient state of development. So they're not firm. They're not solid. And if they're seeing images on the computer and on television that are influencing their sense of right and wrong, and nobody's intervening, the parental involvement is the most significant factor with any message that comes across on the computer or television to help the kids understand this is okay or this isn't okay. I've had teens come in and tell me the most that, oh, I was sexting my girlfriend, and these are really, really nice kids. They just don't get it because nobody's telling them this is not okay.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, the brain needs the parental involvement to really get solidified.
So what you're saying is if these images and these, you know, this negative input is wired into the brain, it's actually changing the development for the kids because it's being intercepted into their thought patterns while they're still developing?
It's being intercepted into their thought patterns through what are called mirror neurons. So the mirror neurons are storing this information. And if they're not getting the message that it's unacceptable, then it becomes acceptable.
Right. So they don't have – and that goes back to the reinforcement of what you're saying about the parenting aspect to counter that, to reinforce that it's not acceptable. So when we leave our kids to have to kind of find it out on their own, as we say, and kind of say, okay, fine, they're on the computer, or we give them that smartphone and we kind of just push them aside and think they're okay, we're not reinforcing any type of message to counter it, so it just becomes an acceptable part of their behavior and their pattern.
Yeah, wow. You're so right. If they don't hear it from the parent, they're certainly not going to hear it from their peers who are all doing it.
Right. Definitely not.
Right.
Wow. Well, specifically, we were talking about just the bullying part. I think they said it's about 42% of kids have been bullied online. That's a staggering amount.
Because it's almost like, you know, it's fun to tease somebody when they can't tease you back.
Right.
It's fun to hit somebody when they can't hit you back.
Right.
And they can, but not immediately. You can sort of hit and run on the computer.
Right. It's like you can say it, leave it there, kind of go away, and then just disregard it. It may come back to you later in a text message, but by that time you've moved on, so you don't really have anything to give you any type of, I would call it consciousness, or anything to kind of say to you, hey, that wasn't right.
And we know from kids using violent video games that violence has become much more acceptable in the minds of kids because of the stored neurons from the violent actions,
right,
which are part of the bullying. So it's self-reinforcing.
Right. Well, it is kind of reinforced over and over again if you think about how many times kids play video games and the repetitive imagery that comes through it, and especially if there's violent video games or even any type of cinematography or movies or anything like that, even though we're talking about online, but the pattern is constantly repetitious to a point where it just becomes their way of thinking. So I see that.
Exactly. And Nintendo has actually said that the children, the brains of children under six should not be using violent video games because they're so receptive. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I'm so excited that you called in. I'm telling you, this is such a hot topic. And I'm just wondering, you can't give names, Dr. Nancy, but can you give a couple of examples, if you don't mind, real-world examples, since you are a doctor, you work with, you know, kids,
right,
you deal with this issue, of the before and after, you know, some real-world examples of what this does, what you've seen, the results, negative and positive, maybe, you know, in a success story of parenting that really was powerful and effective.
With parenting?
Or anything, maybe just some, you know, something that just comes to your heart of an issue, or just some sort of an example with somebody that you worked with that was a kid,
right,
a parent, you know, just something that can talk about the before and after situation, because you deal with so much of this.
Right.
Well, I had a very bright, charismatic kid who was athletic. He just had everything going for him. He had a great family, great parents. Educated parents, and the kid is coming in and telling me about his girlfriend. And he's telling me that they're sexting each other, and he's telling me about their sex life. And he's a sophomore in high school. And so I'm working with this in terms of what I believe the parents' intentions are for their child, and trying to assist him with understanding the repercussions of this without judging him. Because shame is not the answer. But what happened was that he said that things were going great in the relationship. She suddenly broke up with him for no apparent reason, nothing obvious, which is, of course, something that happens to teenagers all the time. They just change their mind. You know, they're very, you know, very changeable. And then he just experienced the shame all by himself. The shame really, you know, really hit him hard because he knew that he had all these pictures out there, that he had given them to someone he trusted, and now then in the therapy we had to deal with the shame issue and how to clean that up, and it's not easy to clean up. Once it's out there. So the only recourse that we had was to deal with the shame and to talk about making better choices the next time.
Now, you mentioned something about the shame, because that's the other part of the destructive behavior, the aftermath.
Yes.
Once it's done and over with, then there's all the pictures out there, there's all of the negative imagery, there's all of the negative, and that goes back to what you spoke about, Deb. You said the archives that are left because everything is now public knowledge and is accessible, and it's immediately accessible in video, in pictures, in print.
Yes.
And it doesn't go away. See, that's the other side of it. Kids don't understand that it does not go away. It is archived unless the internet just shuts down. It's not going to go away. It's out there. And it will come back because this, then going back to the other part of it, you're talking about being a teen. We're now talking about teens who are going out to get jobs. Well, the first thing that now that companies do, and I know I do it, because you can't help but to, you go right to social media networks and you look for their profile. And immediately, when you start to see the archives of everything that's on their profile, you get what's called, and unfortunately, in most cases, an immediate judgment call. And then they don't understand why they didn't get the job. But it's out there. And it's there now and it's archived. And because it's out there and archived, this goes, it also increases the fact that now there's no one that's going to interact with you personally to sit down with you and see who you are as a person. If you're qualified for the job, the first place they're going to go to is right to the internet. And they're going to make a judgment call. And if you've got this archive of things, it's destructive again.
So you're saying that these mistakes are actually permanent mistakes. They can't be erased
right.
or cleaned up.
It can't be erased.
Yeah, and I wonder what that does to the brain patterns.
Right.
You know, and I think that when we look at the problem, it's on an emotional level, but, you know, and it's so great to have you here as a clinician, Dr. Nancy, as well, because there is a clinical problem that's associated
right.
as well. There's fact and there's emotion. And then, you know, the third part of the stool is this is something that's changing society. And I know, I mean, granted, none of us are going to be here forever, but I think while we're here, it's our responsibility to leave the world a better place, to
right.
do what we can with what we have. And I'm really concerned about these kids and what happens to the next generation, and that affects all of us. And,
yes.
you know, it's yet to be determined, but so far it's got a lot of negative in it, you know?
Right. And now we can talk about the positive aspect of it, because what it's done actually is at least you do have an understanding of the existence of this. There's someone on the other side of the world. You know, without it, we wouldn't be able to transmit information or to give things to each other from that standpoint. But there is a drop and a gap in the actual social parenting issue. It's like there needs to be even a book on just how to parent a social generation.
You're right.
There you go. That's a book that you can write.
I guess I'm writing it.
You and Dr. Nancy.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Nancy, we got to get on that. Okay. But should be. Because, let's face it, it's not going to go away. But now we have a new age and a new generation of kids, and actually several generations now, because technically, you know, the internet's been around for a good 20, 25 years. I mean, accessibly, but now in the last 10 years, so we've had kids that are, you know, now having, unfortunately, kids having kids. But they're also being brought up in the same, you know, mindset. So it's almost like saying, okay, we have to have a new way of parenting these kids. We cannot just leave our kids to social media and these different aspects and and texting and think that, okay, they're fine. It's okay.
Yep.
And then we can just blow them off and just put them over in casting and say, okay, they're fine because they're talking to their friends. That's not what's happening.
Well, one of the good things towards that end, I think, and I've heard the kids talk about it, you know, it does get them easily connected, immediately connected with their parents if they're somewhere or they need something. I mean, I suppose if your car breaks down and you're a teen and you're in trouble, you have a way of communicating with somebody and getting help. So, you know, those are good elements to stay connected with family and friends, especially, you know, in times of need. But I'm just wondering what are some of the safe social places to go, and how can we frame using social media for good things? I think it's almost an addiction now. Social media is an addiction,
right.
And you know, I think that when teens feel that or claim that Facebook is the safe social media place for me to go, you know, they don't know what they don't know. And that's where
right.
we have to trust that our brains are fully developed and helping the kids whose brains aren't. But, you know, sometimes I wonder about that too. But, you know, I'm just wondering what some of the good social media places are that they can go.
Whoa.
And certainly I just want to preface that with, I mean, I think a blog talk show like this is fabulous. I think that, you know, us being able to all talk here, whether you're in the chat room, listening live, or on iTunes, I mean, getting information, researching things, educating yourself, you know, getting online degrees, I mean, those are all wonderful things, but we really, you know, I'm just wondering as far as the society or the connection with friends and that type of area, what are some of the healthier places to go?
And, well, that's the solution part. That goes to the third part, and now what? Which, you know, we are, you know, in partnership with working on, as you know, with the STAR Network, we're designing a completely safe social place for kids to go. Dr. Nancy, I, and yourself, and others have come together and felt that we should address this topic on a larger platform and try to increase some sort of awareness and design some sort of way to be able to start to, I guess you say, gain our children back.
And, you know, Tia, before I bow out, I just want to say that I agree with you. We are, for the first time in the history of parenting, we are inventing the wheel.
Right.
Yeah. We are.
This is a wheel that has to be invented. This is not a new wheel. This is definitely an invention of the wheel in a whole different way.
Yeah. It's a whole different thing. And so the rules, we're the generation that's building the rules for the next generation so that hopefully they'll pass them on, because if we don't, this will get out of control. I want to thank you so much for letting me be a part of it.
Yes.
Well, before you go, let people know how they can get in touch with you.
Yes, please, Dr. Nancy.
Okay. Yeah. I'm Dr. Nancy. It's Dr. Nancy, Dr. Nancy at Dr. Nancy Online, drnancyonline.com. And Tia and I would love to support anyone who is dealing with this issue, because we've kind of decided to work together to help create the wheel, haven't we?
Yes, we have. And so thus it shall spin. No, thank
I'm
you so much for Dr. Nancy.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you so very much.
You're so welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. Wasn't that nice to have her
that was
calling
awesome.
In?
Yes. I mean, and then just confirmation and what we talked about, but just that she can tie it in with the medical and clinical aspect of it. It was definitely awesome to have her chime in. But it goes back to reinforcing what we spoke about, Deb, and why we have to get out here, and it's important. I mean, we just can't drop the ball on our team.
We
can't drop the ball on the kids. And, it's just, and she just really staggered me and blew me away with that statistic about even kids under six.
Yeah. And I think that more people are going to be writing about it and talking about it, because we here right now are making, you know, the outline and the path, and we're putting down the roads for roads that have not been traveled yet, and you know we want to make sure that we know where we're going, and off a cliff would not be good. That would not be one of the choices. You know what we've talked, and if somebody in the chat room has a comment or you know opinion or anything that you want to, I see a lot of people in there, or you want to call in 347-637-1318, 347-637-1318. Would love to hear from you. Any personal experiences, any comments, you know, we're all in this together. What are some of the healthier ways that we can steer? I know that, you know, this is great, what you're creating, and that we're going to talk about that a lot, too, on the next show, because the launch will be out then. But there are some amazing places for teens to go. It gets back to the original statement. They went there, they wanted something, they got something, it wasn't what they wanted, and now what? And part of that now what is getting around people who are, you know, working to create places to go, communicate, connect, build good, healthy self-esteem in ways that are productive. And when they find those places and they get the result that they want, I think it automatically detaches them from the things or the places they were going that they got, as I say, the counterfeit happiness.
So
what are some of those healthy places that you found in your research or some of the ways that our terrific teens are inventing them?
Well, the first thing is that you know – I can go into a whole other show. We can go right into the biblical aspect of it. But starting with peers who are positive, when you start to connect a teen with a positive teen, it changes the dynamics of their influence. And it's just like they say, well, you're going to be like your 10 closest friends. Well, if your 10 closest friends are people who are doing something that's very positive in their community and they're involved in things that increase that, then it has an influence that's positive on the next team that comes into the core of the 10. So one of the first things is just the matching up of putting them in the right atmosphere of those who want to do something positive.
So really, I think what's happening is it's a reverse. The social media is coming first. The real human being is coming second. And one of the ways that we can solve this problem is to encourage the real person comes first, and the social media comes second.
Right. So if you know that you're with a positive person and you've met them, then if there's a social connection that comes out of it, that's a blessing because there's a positive social connection, but you still have a positive human connection as well. And then influence. But when you take it and you just base it upon going straight to the social aspect first without getting to know that person, you're at a risk of finding out really soon, especially in social media, they may not be exactly what you expected.
Right. So, there's a lot of, I'm always, speaking of social media, I'm always researching places that I think are good. And a lot of these group teens that are working to donate, there's a big group right now in our area, in the Boston area, donating for food. And using the social media as a communication towards an end of an event that they know that they're going to be going to together. And I think the responsibility of having a means, why are you using the social media? When social media, the kids in the polls are saying, this is a way for me to build a relationship, to build a friendship. It's a whole different planet than saying, I'm connecting with people, I have certain interests, I'm out there doing things that I'm passionate about that are fun with other teens, and I'm using the social media as a bridge rather than as a source of my happiness.
As a crutch.
And with parents getting involved and other kids educating what the result is and knowing that, hey, these are the good things that you get, but these are the bad things as well. And, being aware is, I think, half of the problem. But the perfect go ahead. I was going to
share this with you because, I have three kids myself. Two, which are now 17, and then my oldest. But, with the teens, my teenagers, there was a time when, I was not aware of their accessibility in social media. In other words, I pretty much said, no, I didn't want you to be involved in it at that time. And if so, I would want to know. But in particular, my son, being the tech-savvy person that he is, kind of, went around the hoops and did it anyway. And I found out. But I didn't drop the ball on finding out. In other words, when I found out, I got with him and I said, look, that's not acceptable with some of the things that you're putting on there. And even enforced, if you're gonna do it, I mean, because kids are gonna do it, they're gonna find a way, because it's just how it is. But I enforce the point of, alrighty, if you're gonna do it, I'm on your friends list, because I need to see what you're posting.
And I think that brings up a really good point, Tia, because, and Dr. Nancy hit the nail on the head.
Right.
A lot of parents and a lot of adults are thinking, well, it wouldn't do this to me, or what, if I was a kid, this wouldn't be an issue. So we are assuming the kids are on the same level as the adults.
Right.
And we need to remember that their brains aren't fully formed.
Are not.
They are not morally adult to be able to make decisions like those of us listening today, if we
right.
are adults. And and if we don't accept that fact, we're never going to accept that this is really an issue that needs our attention. Because I
right.
think a lot of people are not trying to be apathetic, but they automatically assume, oh, they're just kids. They'll grow out of it. But the problem
right.
is the social media issues are growing into them, and they're staying,
right.
and it's becoming a fabric inside their souls of who they are as people for the rest of their life. And I think that's the part that we really need a wake-up call, and I think that's why we're doing this series of shows, because people are not looking at this as
right.
something that requires attention before the problem really
right.
gets to a place where, you know, we can't, it can't be cured. And to think that, you know, it's not a potential problem is naive.
It's naive. That's it. We can't just turn a blind look away from it and just say, okay, it'll resolve itself or it's okay. And you hit it home on this very serious point, which is going back to even what Dr. Nancy said. We think or treat our kids as if though sometimes they are equal to us socially, mentally, that they're mature enough to make decisions, but physically, they're still in development, and so they're not. And we give them those responsibilities, not understanding that they're not even physically able to, you know, to be able to handle those responsibilities because they're not, they're still in development. And so when we do that and drop that ball, and then when they do something, you know, that's out of sort or what we would prefer or whatever, then we're upset, but we don't realize we actually dropped the ball.
Yep, and let's all, I think one of the things that we should do before the show ends, which I can't believe we're coming to that point, I think we all need a call to action. You know, I like to have a show
right.
where I get something that I can do which I'm
right.
better for having listened to the show. Because if I listen to something
right.
and it doesn't give me any change in my life, that I
right.
can implement, it's kind of a waste of time. And I want
right,
everybody, and I love all you guys in the chat room. I appreciate
thank you.
The listeners. But you know, one of the things that we can do right away today, if we have a terrific teen that we wonder if it's if they're in need, we could do
right.
it, adults too. Take the social media away for 24 hours. Take all the texting. Take the iPhones, the internet, YouTube. Take that challenge with your terrific teen and say, you know
yes.
what? I was listening to the show today, and they were talking about some issues with social media. You know, and I love you. I care about you. And let's just do a little test, you and I, a little mutual love experiment. And just
well,
stop
media,
for 24 hours,
yes.
no social
it's called
media.
A media fast. I actually did it in the beginning of the year, believe it or not.
There you go, a media fast.
Media
a
fast.
24 hour, just for one day, for one
right.
day, all media eliminated. We'll all feel like we're the pilgrims, you know, coming over with no media.
Well,
people
no,
have to live without media.
Yes.
So
but,
no
but
media.
Actually, if you can get your teens to do it and see how they feel. But, there, you know, you mentioned that during Lent, one of the biggest things that kids gave up when they said they had to fast was actually Facebook.
Yes. Yes. And the
okay.
fact, and you know, I think what this will do for us, and if you can join us in 2 weeks, we're going to continue our series. We're doing a four-part
right.
series here on Saturday mornings. And you can call in and tell us what your results were. How
yes.
did the kids feel? Did they feel sick, nauseous, physical ailment? I mean, these kids are addicted. If they can't go
right.
one day without social media, we can find out what are the physical results of this little experiment we're all going to do
right.
here today. And then the second thing is, what is it that they were yearning for? Have a discussion with your kid and ask them, well, what did you feel you were missing? Why were you feeling sick? What were you missing? They were missing what? A connection with someone, feeling desirable, wanted, loved. Well, then that brings up another discussion you can have with your kids, talking about, well, let's think of other ways. Let's visualize social media's gone forever.
Let's start with the fact that now you're going to have a discussion with your kids. That in itself is why you should do a media fast.
Yeah. But
you know, you're going to actually have a discussion with your kids.
Right. And, you know, I think that this is a great exercise. I think it's a good exercise. Vicky's in the chat room going, lots of laughs, good ideas. Yeah. But, you know, hey, listen, it's a campaign that we all need to do, and then in 2 weeks we'll come back and share the results.
Right.
But here's the deal. We're going to learn something. We all make assumptions of what the result will be. No. Let's actually do it and see what we get, but open our mind like a parachute, because it's the only way it's going to work is when it's open, and see what we get. And maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised, or maybe we won't. But at least we'll have something to work with. We'll have those cards on the table, and we can create a game that we want to play and win in, because right now we don't know what we don't know.
Okay. And here's the thing. In that time that you do get an opportunity to have a media fast, and especially if you have your kids, ask them some, you know, talk about, because it's going to come up a conversation, because once you take something away, someone's going to miss it, and they're going to, you know, and then that'll come up. They'll be like, gosh, I wish I was on Facebook. You might want to ask them a couple of questions, like, have you ever been bullied online? Have you ever been threatened online? Have you ever threatened or bullied someone or said hurtful things? Have you ever, you know, ever had anyone send you a sexting message?
Yeah, and then asking as a follow-up, how did that make you feel?
Feel, right. Because here's some staggering facts. About 58% of the kids have never told their parents or adults about something mean or hurtful that happened to them online. Mm. But maybe that's because they don't even have the communication with their parents to feel comfortable enough to do so, because they're always online.
So there's a lot that we can learn, everybody listening here, and I see a really busy chat room, and we really appreciate you being here, you know, and I really, really am grateful,
yes.
And hope that you will share this show with a friend, or at least create a discussion with your friend.
Call in if you have a question. Yes.
All right. But you've given us, you know, we'll do 24 hours. That's today's challenge to everybody listening. 24 hours, no social media for your kids.
Right.
And just being open to how they feel, what they're experiencing, and Tia has given us a great list of questions that we can ask. And then we can have something to really work with, and if we can bring those together on the next show, which is, when's our next show,
Tia? 2 weeks from now on the Tia Star Show, Blog Talk. We'll do it on Blog Talk here. And then after you, we'll follow up with you again on your show. So it'll be 2 weeks from today, Saturday. And also, the other question that I definitely want to make sure that we get out, after those questions, ask your kids, what would they change? What would they want to see?
You know,
what would make them feel better? What are they really looking for that they didn't get? And what could we do to create that place for them?
Yeah. Hey, Tia, let's take a call. 606 is here. 606-683, you are on the air. We appreciate you calling. Can you give us your name and your comment?
My name is River. And I just wanted to say that there's this website out there that is this choking website. And, like, teens are going out there and they're, you know, getting with their buddies and, like, instead of doing drugs, they're actually giving themselves a natural high, like with choking themselves. But teens have died.
Wow.
From it. Yeah. And
oh my gosh. Okay.
You know, the website's not even been deleted, but that really doesn't even matter now, because they can do it anyway. You know, they already know how to do it. And I mean, this is killing them, and they don't know. You know.
Wow. They're
getting out there and doing it in groups, and even worse, by themselves.
Oh, my goodness. So are you saying that just because it's out there, it's influencing the kids to go to it, and that's where they're learning how to do it? And even if they took it down at this point in time, would it have an impact?
No, because they're peer pressuring each other into doing it, and they don't even know the harm that it's creating.
Oh, my. River, what would you want us to do to help you guys out there to be protected from something like that?
I mean, that's what I don't know, because there's basically nothing you can do now.
Well, there's always hope. There's always hope,
there's
and
always
that's why we're here.
Yeah, there's always something we can do. As long as there's a breath, there's always something we can do. But just making us aware of it, what took so long for, I mean, I first of all, let me implore you for having the courage to come on air and to tell us this. That means we're reaching out and we're touching someone. But you're here now. What do we need to do? I mean, what do we need to do to help you guys out there know that there's an alternative? How do we counter that? I mean, I know you think that because it's there, it can't be, nothing can be done. But that's that moment. Looking at the next moment, how do we reach those kids? What do we need to do to reach those kids, to bring them back and to know that there's a safe place and to get them information, to get that removed? We can work on getting that removed, but how do we get them beyond that point to be there for you guys? What do we have to do?
I mean, we basically need to talk to them, but, I mean, I think that's already been done.
So, well, what we want to do, I think our goal, and just so psyched you called, because if, you know, you're saying it, many people are feeling it too, but I think we'd like to get the positive messages
right
here that we're discussing as viral as the negative stuff. I mean, that would be the ideal world, I think, for us.
Yes.
Do you have people, that some of your friends, that can even go a day without social media?
Right.
No.
Well, so it would really hurt them. I mean, but when you go to social media, what actually got you to social media? Why were you in the social media realm?
Everybody else was.
So it was basically an influence of peer pressure, or just because everyone else was doing it?
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Mm. I mean, that even happened to me. I'll say that.
Wow.
Well, you know, River, it's really, I hope that you're going to call back and bring a bunch of friends, because next show, we're out of time today, but next show we're going to talk about more about solutions. I think today framing it that it is a problem and
right,
getting people a wake-up call that stuff is going on, just like you mentioned. People don't know. And I think that we have to reveal the depth and the effect
right
that it's having on our teens, because you're terrific. You're our hope.
River, you are our hope, and you're our future. River, I'll make a commitment here on this show that is there any way that we could get River's information and get in contact with him? River, I'm going to personally make it a commitment to do all that I can to try to provide some hope for you guys.
Yeah,
and
we're working.
A place. We're working on it. And that you can have a place that if you do go to it, you feel that there's a positive connection and that it's out there, and to counter those type of websites.
Yeah.
And to show you an influence of positive influence.
Why don't you give
your
contact information out, Tia, before the show
right
goes, because we're down to like 1 minute. So
okay.
I wanna thank River, and we hope that you'll call back. We're going to just let Tia give her information, and hopefully you'll get in touch with her, and we'll come back in 2 weeks. That would be awesome. But,
okay,
you know, hey, one person at a time. You put the starfish back in the water, and that one starfish is saved forever, and we'll just keep doing it. But thank you, River, and stay blessed and be a blessing. Tia,
thank
give
you
us your information.
You can always go to tiastar.com if you want to get me directly. There's a contact link. You can email me at tiastar@tiastar.com. within the next week or so, we'll be launching the Tia Star Network. So that's another way to contact me. It'll be TiaStarNetwork.com. And the direct email contact, once again, Tia Star, that's for two R's, at TiaStar.com, to just shoot me up an email or contact. There's also a contact link. You could just fill in a form. I always get it personally. So that's the quickest way to get in contact with me. I'm really concerned about what River said, and it's touching my heart right now. So it's just it's resonating on my spirit to make sure that we do not drop the ball on someone like River.
Well, we're not.
We can't.
And we're all committed here to so many people in the chat room. Thank you so much. And you're the people that are going to make a difference. And, you know, if we don't do it, who the heck will? So
right.
Join us in 2 weeks for the second part of our four-part series. We'll have more about solutions. And I'm trusting that all you best people in that listening in the chat room or on iTunes, sharing with a friend, this is the challenge for you now, 24 hours for your terrific teens without any social media. What did you learn? How did they feel? What was the discussion? Bring it in 2 weeks, and we'll talk about it, and we'll talk about a lot of solutions with places for these kids to go, and Tia's Network would have been launched then. So we're looking forward to seeing you in 2 weeks, and thank you to my special guest, Tia Star.
Thank you.
You're awesome, and we love our listeners, and you are a blessing, so go out and share your shine, because the world needs you, and we're all here for a reason, we're all necessary, and we all have to do our part, and you're not here by accident, so go out, take your challenge, no media for 24 hours, and we'll see you here on the second part of our segment in 2 weeks at 10 a.m.
Yes.
And thank you. We love you, and we appreciate you. Go out and make it a great day. God bless.
Thank you for listening.
Amen.
To the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greensskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking, and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.